What is up, guys? It has been a long-awaited week, but we are back with another Believe in TCU Football with Lauren Cottrell and JD, where we're going to be recapping the TCU versus OSU tough loss last week. OSU defeated TCU 63-17. JD, what was going through your mind during this game? Because I have a few things that were going through mine.
Oh, man. Gosh. I almost thought it was a joke at first. I was like, man, we just beat Baylor. Like, we just had an amazing week last week. And then this game happens, and I'm like, what did we – did guys not go to the game? Did leave people? Did we not know what time the game was? Like, what happened?
Were people just not something. There?
Yeah, did people just not come this week? Like, you know. So I don't know. They took a whooping. I'll say that they took a whooping. But I mean, just to give Oklahoma State some credit, like they're not a pushover team. You know, they're not a team that you can just look over or think you're going to run through. Like, they're 9-1 now for a reason. So and ranked 10 in the country. So it wasn't like we were going in for a cupcake game. Like, yeah, we were going to have to play just as hard as we did against Baylor. And I don't know, man. I mean, I'm looking at team stats, and I know we'll get into it, but we just did not play great football at all on Saturday. So what were your thoughts? What notes did you have?
I had high hopes going into this game, and I think a lot of people did, you know, coming off of the momentum and the energy that we had with Baylor. But, you know, I don't want to say that it was a fluke, but I think it was, you know, probably just coming off a lot of the emotions that they had from that week, you know, losing Coach P and going back to the funeral talk, but
yeah, most definitely.
But no, I had high hopes for this game. And you know, we started the game off really good. There was, you know, literally in my notes, I have huge hit by Hodges Tomlinson on the Cowboys' first drive. Turnover, we got the ball, and then we just lost it after that. You know, and if it wasn't for those last two touchdowns, we literally would have finished the game with no touchdowns.
Yeah, none. Just a field goal. Just a field goal.
So, thankfully, at least we got those. I guess that made it seem a little better, but still pretty embarrassing. I totally agree with you. We just did not play good football. You know, even looking at Chandler Morris this week to last week, you know, he had, what, over 400 yards last week against Baylor, and this week he had 103.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Big difference there, and you know, I know we still were out with Kendre Miller wasn't in and Zach Evans wasn't in, and you know, DeMercado did the best he could, but unfortunately the Cowboys defense was just up on us the whole game.
Yeah, man. They definitely came ready to play. And you know, I think two things. I think one, Baylor, like we talked about last week, like Baylor didn't know what to do with Chandler Morris. Hadn't really seen him before. Hadn't really, you know, I know they heard of him. He's a, you know, Big 12 guy, but you know, they didn't really know how to prepare for him nor make the adjustments. Right. But then you come into Stillwater, a ranked team, top 25, top 10. Now they got the film. You know, they got the film.
And they have a whole lot of film of Chandler Morris, too, because, you know, he just popped off that game.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. So they had a lot to go by, whole lot to go by. And so, you know, I think that's one end of the spectrum. And then two, it's kind of like we talked about earlier in the year. It's like, you know, do you have the leaders and the playmakers to step up in those big time moments on the road? Right. Mm-hmm. Because it's very easy to play at home, right? Like, not to say that it would have been any different had we gone to Waco last week, but us being at home made a huge difference, right? Yeah. It gave us a lot of, like, momentum, a lot of excitement, a lot of energy from the crowd. I mean, the pictures have been posted all weekend from, you know, fans storming the field. So, a lot of that, I think, contributed to the win last week against Baylor. But, you know, again, Oklahoma State is ranked They got plenty of film on Chandler Morris, and you know, winning on the road against a ranked team is a difficult thing to do. So,
Well, and
you
another
know,
thing, and
it's
I've been saying this since, I came here, love TCU to death. We have some of the greatest fans in the world in Fort Worth. We do not travel well. OSU is
No.
what, 3.5, 4 hours away from Fort Worth? Like, we don't travel well as a program. And, I think that definitely hurts us. Home field advantage is a real thing.
Oh
And
yeah, I agree.
having that momentum and that energy from the crowd is just it's I'm sure it's a real thing, you can obviously tell us more being an actual player, but yeah, we don't travel well as a team.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you go on the road and it's just the cheerleaders and you know the 20, 30 fans that came, like
Yeah.
you know, it's kind of tough, man. It really is. It's kind of tough to create your own energy and create the momentum yourself and for your team. Like that's a tough thing to do. Not that it's impossible because teams have done it, and I mean teams have done it all year. I just think that, you know, for the situations and the circumstances that TCU has been in the last couple of weeks, creating that kind of momentum on the road is a challenge. It's a real challenge, you know, because I mean, I think everything rolls down here, right? So your head guy has been removed from the program or he resigned. Now your coaches are kind of discombobulated, right? Because I mean, if we just being honest, like the staff is there because Coach P has them there. Now that whoever the new person is going to be, I mean, that's going to be a different decision, a different conversation. But I mean, I could imagine that the staff is kind of discombobulated a little bit, you know, as much as they are doing their best to stay locked in and do what they need to do to win, become bowl eligible. But I mean, you know, you got coaches kind of discombobulated, then that goes down into the locker room, into players. Like, you know, you got the older guys who are getting ready to transition out and get ready for the league, and you got younger guys who are trying to figure out if their favorite coach is going to be there or not. So like it's a lot, I think, that's going on as far as, you know, behind the scenes, off the field kind of thing. That plays in a, it has a direct effect on how they play on Saturday. So, you know, I mean, not that it's any one person's fault or anything like that. It's just a rough Saturday. Oklahoma State, that was a rough Saturday.
Well, I think it was also a lot more rough going off of everything that you just said, because I think this is how everybody expected TCU to perform last week when
Gotcha.
everything had just happened. We had just lost Coach P. We had, changed quarterbacks. We had lost Zach Evans and, Kendre Miller. And, a lot was going on, in the program. And I think that's everyone was expecting that to happen last week. So I think that made this loss even worse because they saw, oh, that didn't happen last week. Like, cool, we're still thriving. We're still doing our thing. We're doing great things now. And, I think everyone came into this game with high hopes. So I don't know. I feel like that almost kind of made it worse that it was 2 weeks later rather than the week of.
Yeah, the week of,
Yeah. But,
yeah, for sure.
talking about coaches, we've talked about on episodes before that, like you just said, a lot of the coaches, were there because of Coach P. They were behind Coach P. What do you think, as a player and, someone who's well into the industry, what might happen there when we do get a new head coach here?
I think a lot of different things can happen. But you know, just looking at standard programs and just looking at the way things are usually done, usually a college staff is put together by that head coach. And you know, and it could be for various reasons, whether a coach, you know, was really good at another school and the head coach brought him on to his staff, or where the coaches have been coaching together for a long time. So, like for instance, Coach Sharp, Dan Sharp, him and Coach P have been together for a very, very long time, right? So, you know, it's different kind of situations like that. And then you have situations to where, you know, the head coach is just kind of, he may just kind of take the staff that was already there and try to, you know, figure out, you know, a formula to win. But I think, you know, coaching wise, I think whoever they bring in, right, is going to be I think one of the big things that's going to be spotlighted is he going to bring his own staff or is he going to keep the same one? And I remember the article that we talked about, a couple of weeks ago, where the guy was pretty much talking about the importance of bringing in new coaches and kind of innovating developmental coaches into your program and continuing to have guys that are kind of recreating themselves in their craft, meaning coaches getting better and progressing and not just being satisfied with being a coach. So I think a lot of that is going to have to do with whoever that they bring in, whether he's going to bring his own staff or if he's going to keep the same one. And then I think, on the other end of things, I think, I think the future of TCU is going to be greatly affected now, because I assume that they want the next guy to be the right guy, right? I know there was a Deion Sanders conversation going around, which I just my personal opinion, I just couldn't believe that. But I think, a part of that is going to be TCU finding the right guy to kind of keep the same TCU energy, but also bring some new energy in as well, bring in some new kind of direction, so to speak, or a new theme for the program. So like I said, with coaching changes, a lot of times it's the head coach and his staff are going to a university or going to another university. And other times it's, head coach is coming in and he's just got to work with the staff that he has. So I think it's going to be an interesting conversation here in a couple of months about who the right guy is going to be for that program.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I'm kind of glad to hear that, they're not hopping right on it and trying to get somebody super quick, 'cause, like you were saying, I think it's important to find the right guy, but just like you were saying, I definitely do think TCU needs how do I go about saying this? I guess just, different opinions outside, outside opinions, and I think that change might be good for the program in the long run, and so yeah, I'm definitely interested to see where that's gonna go this off season. So
It's gonna be interesting. Definitely gonna be interesting.
yeah, staying tuned, staying tuned. All right,
Oh,
well, you always say you gotta give credit where credit is due, and I just
most
have to
definitely.
bring up really quick Jalen Warren for Oklahoma State. Man had three touchdowns in the first half. He got just
Oh,
touchdown
man.
after touchdown. He got the Cowboys up to 21 in the first half. So, yeah, definitely giving credit where credit is due. That's a great performance there by him and, by the Cowboys. But as much as I wish that was our DeMarcado or someone on our team, but definitely a great performance by him. So.
Most definitely. Him and Dominic
Richardson.
I think it's Richardson. Yeah, Dominic Richardson as well. I mean, they both had explosive games. They both were over 100 yards. Both of them had at least two touchdowns. So I mean, you got to give credit what credit is due. Like, they're not just ranked for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, they're ranked for a reason. They are who they are for a reason. So I like I said, I'm just kind of curious as to where was our like rush defense. Because now I'm going back through the box score, I'm like, they've had one, two, three, four running backs who all got into the end zone. Three of them had at least two touchdowns. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I've never heard of that. Like, I've never heard of at least three running backs having two touchdowns apiece, which is beyond me. It truly is a beyond me, man.
And I was talking about this, and I've said this for the past few weeks, and I know a lot of people have as well, that our defense, in my opinion, did not look bad on the early downs. I don't know what happens on third down, but TCU's defense loses their absolute minds. I'm like,
Most definitely.
did you guys remember how to play football? They do a great job. Like, I was like, wow, our defense is doing great, making big stops, good for them, awesome. And then the third down hits, and that's when the Cowboys just run down the entire field and get a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, and it's amazing how that happens, because I think we talked about earlier in the season of this show, but third down is the down. It's the money down. It's the down where everything matters, in my opinion. And I mean, there's other downs too, or certain situations in the game, but you can bet your bottom dollar on third down making a difference in the game. And OSU was 11 for 15 for third down. And so you're 11 for 15, like you figuring something out on third down. Something is working. Something is working on third down. And it could
Something's
have been
not
one of
working
the
on
four
our
running
end.
backs. Right. Something is definitely not working on our end. I mean, and I know we're gonna talk about our offense too, but like I said, I mean, OSU's third down efficiency was pretty potent on Saturday. I mean, they figured out how to get the job done on Saturday on third down.
Yeah, no, for sure. And honestly, talking about their defense too, I was just like, I truly think that defense made a huge difference in this game. And obviously their offense, did as well. They got 63 points on the board, but their defense just stopping us to a field goal when TCU this entire season has been pretty well known for at least putting up points once they get to the red zone. And that just didn't happen this game. And their defense was really cracking down on us for sure. From all aspects of our offense. So that was they were just unstoppable out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, their defense did play lights out. I mean, they held us to two for 13 on third down. So whatever they were dialing up on third down, it worked. It worked.
We need to look at them, do whatever they
For sure.
do.
Whatever they do on defense, that's what we need to do. But no, it does say a lot. It does says a lot about the decisions that are being made on third down, whether it's on offense or defense, right? Because as much as we rave about Chandler Morris the week before or last week, like I said, OSU got this film, right? And so they were fully prepared for whatever he was capable of. To hold him to, 2 for 13 on third downs and only 12 first downs in the game compared to OSU's 35 first downs. So, like, again, I don't know what was talked about in OSU's defensive meeting rooms last week, but all eyes were on Chandler Morris, which, as they should, as they should, got to give credit where credit is due, like, as they should have been. I mean, because he absolutely demoralized Baylor. So I could only imagine that, they look at the film and say, okay, all right, Chandler Morris, cool. We'll neutralize him without a doubt. And, they did it well.
They definitely did. And I want to ask you also, 'cause I've gotten this question a lot this week, and we asked the same one last week post Baylor. But I think, it might be a little bit of a different question this week with Chandler Morris's fate and Max Duggan's fate now. Because post Baylor, I feel like it was without a doubt. How could you put back in Max Duggan after you see a
After
quarterback
you see
perform
that,
like that, But after this, I guess, I've had people ask what are our opinions on Chandler Morris now? And obviously it's a little different. We were playing a number 10 team, but Baylor was what, number 12 when we played him too. So I guess what are our opinions on in the quarterback room now?
I still think you let it play out. Like I don't think you can make a decision from week to week like that. Some coaches do. Some coaches do it well. For others, or for most, it don't work out that well when you try to do the two quarterback system.
Caleb Williams and Spencer Rattler.
There we go. You know what I mean? There we go. So again, like I don't think Coach Meacham makes a decision just yet. I think that you continue to let it play out. As far as we know, Max has a broken foot, as far as we know. And so to his credit, he has an injury. So he's not really able to compete at 100% capacity. So you can't, in my opinion, you can't really choose one over the other when the playing field is not necessarily fair. If that makes sense, had Max played this week, and Chandler played this week, then maybe, yeah, we could sit down and we could look at their numbers and, you know, go back and forth about pros and cons. But with Max dealing with an injury right now, you know, and Chandler being a new guy on the block, like, you know, it's not really an even playing field to be able to make a decision. So, but, you know, like we said last week, like the transfer portal is like free agency. It's like NFL free agency. If a kid wants to go somewhere else, he has all the right in the world and the freedom to do so. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be interesting for sure about, you know, whatever decision is going to be made. But like I said, right now, I just don't think a decision can be made. You just kind of go with the flow each and every week.
No, absolutely. And speaking of the transfer portal, a few weeks ago, Matthew Downing entered the transfer portal. So that'll be interesting to see where he goes also, and obviously best of luck to him to wherever he goes. But
Yeah,
yeah,
most
no,
definitely.
I totally agree with that, and I totally forgot about, Duggan's injury. So, but yeah, and I mean, something else to think about too, I guess. And it's a little premature to think about this because Duggan's still a junior, but he does only have one season left. So you gotta start planning for after that. And Chandler is a freshman, so give him the reps.
Yeah, that's true. That
Yeah.
is true. I do agree with you as far as Max coming towards the end of his career, college career, that is. And you know, preparing to try to go to the next level. I think his senior year is going to be huge. I think it's going to make the tell of the story. Not to say that you put Chandler on the back burner, but it's like an unspoken rule in football. Like you got to give, you know, your upperclassmen or, you know, seniority their opportunity, right? Because there was one day where Max was a freshman that everybody was raving about, you know? So you got to at least be respectful in giving him his opportunity to close out his college career in whatever, you know, shape, form, and fashion he decides to. You know, and you know, I just think that's fair. You know, I just think that's fair that you do it that way. But you know, coaches might have different opinions than mine. And at the end of the day, they gotta make that call. So but I like I said, I think it's gonna work out though. I think it's gonna work out.
No, absolutely. It's all gonna work out, and we're we're playing Kansas next week now, which we have talked about in the past weeks. It's kind of the he who shall not be named, school, because they were 1-8 prior to this weekend, but they did just upset Texas.
They
So,
did.
I mean, I guess we'll talk about that on Thursday, but I think it's going to be an interesting game. Seeing kind of how, I mean, like, I know that they lost to OU too, but I mean, seeing how they played against OU and how they played against Texas, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, man. You listen, any given Saturday it could happen.
I
Right? Any given
know.
Saturday it could happen. Like we didn't
Last
have a
week it was
chance.
Baylor. This
Right.
week it was OU in Texas.
Yeah, so you know, it can happen. It can happen, ladies and gentlemen. It can happen. It's not impossible, but like you said, we'll talk about that school later this week and the chances that we got to do what we need to do.
For sure. And now Oklahoma State is 9-1, and I'm really looking forward to watching OU OSU this year. Bedlam. That's gonna be a good one, for
That is
sure.
gonna be good. Yeah, that's gonna be good.
There's some good games in the coming weeks.
I think it's gonna be a slugger. I honestly think it's gonna be a slugger. Like they're
Really?
gonna have to. Yeah, it's gonna be a back and forth game, I
Yeah.
think, in my honest opinion. Like,
Yeah.
you know, and then the last game of the season, regular season. So Oklahoma State. So I think it's gonna be a back and forth. I think it is.
That's huge. I didn't even think about it being the last game. That's huge.
It's gonna be the last game of the season, so it'll be a lot of it. To me, I think it's gonna be a David versus Goliath type of situation where,
Yeah.
you know, whoever makes the last play wins. You
Yeah,
know,
who's gonna come out on top?
yeah. We'll see though. We'll see how it works out.
For sure. All right, well, TCU now moves on to 4-6 on the season. We have two more games left, JD. One more home game.
Yeah, one
We
more.
got Kansas coming to Fort Worth this Saturday. What time's the game at? Do we know? yet? Oh, 3 p.m., right?
3 p.m. Yeah, 3 o'clock.
All right, so we got a midday game. 3 p.m., Kansas Jayhawks will be here at Amanji Carter Stadium to take on TCU Horned Frogs. We'll be back on Thursday to preview that game, see what's going on over there and up in Kansas. But yeah, as always, we want to thank you guys for tuning in to Believe in TCU Football, and we will see you next time.